Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you can't hear me. All right, hold on, guys. I'm just getting some stuff done real quick. Going live on show text. All right, just letting my agents know I'm going to be making a show, going to talk about some stuff like we always do. If you don't know who I am, my name is Steve Oatley. I host this wonderful little show called Freight Broker Live. It's the only daily talk show run by a freight broker. There's a bunch of carriers that make their own shows. There's a bunch of drivers that make their own shows. There's a bunch of people that want to be drivers that don't actually drive anymore that make their own shows. There's a bunch of people that are brokers that are used to be brokers that do the same thing. Or there are just a bunch of people that think they know the industry, so they all start doing these types of videos, except this one's different because I don't care what anyone says. I like making these videos, and they're fun. So this is Freight Broker Live. If you've never seen it before, make sure you like, subscribe. If you're watching this on YouTube, which, yeah, so it is live on YouTube. There was an issue saying it wasn't going to be live, but now it looks like it is. So make sure you like and subscribe. Hit the like buttons, do all that stuff, and go from there. I just read Right Lane's comment. Dude, stop working and focus on your viewers. yeah, I know, right? Stop doing what makes me money for what could potentially make me money someday, but doesn't yet. But today was a busy training thing this morning. So I'm kind of losing my voice. I don't know if it's because I was running funny things or because I was running through different sales scenarios and cold calls or calling carriers. That's what we were talking about today, how to sell a load to a carrier with the sub agents. And it was a good call. I was getting animated. I was talking like having, you know, I was teaching tips and tricks and all that stuff. So there's that. Eventually I'll get some little intro or something that I can like talk about what I'm going to do and then switch it out. Oh, my phone's going to ring here in a second. Let me reject and not answer it. I don't know how to put, oh, here we go. Do not disturb. Boom. So no one can call me now. But yeah, that's about the gist of it. I'm kind of losing my, my voice and, it's not really for free. I mean, I'm doing big things. There's big steps. I'm going over to Freight Waves Live up in Chicago. I'm going up to see all their, all the tech things and stuff. Those are, I mean, that's what I really like about the industry. So hopefully I can do a couple of live broadcasts either from there, or from the hotel room, and just show some of the stuff, or you could always watch it on Freightways TV, I believe. But yeah, that's, sorry, man. It's been a busy day today. So I'm not ready for this. I tried to get everything put together and I didn't get everything the way I wanted to. That call was a carrier who probably had his freight hijacked. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, all the loads that I have are in transit. And then the loads that we had scheduled to pick up today, one of them picked up already. The other one, they just got to the shipper, and the shipper said, we don't have the release. We can't release the load. I called the customer. The customer called their customer, who's the major shipper. And that shipper said, it takes 12 hours for the release. So it was Toe Piglet. He said, how most brokers sell loads to carriers lie. No, I mean, it is a little bit of that. I'm not going to joke. I'll get into that after the last part of the video. So if you want to know what really goes on behind a broker, and it's the same thing you carriers do anyway. So, but, and I'll talk about it because it, I mean, that's what the show's about. It's about helping people to become better at what they do, whether or not you're a carrier, whether you're a shipper, whether you're a broker, whatever. That is my goal. That's what I do. So again, if you've never watched my show before, I am a freight broker. I am a broker by day, and then I make all these videos and write all the content on Freight Broker Live, and do training seminars, and I do entirely too much. You know, tomorrow I'm launching our very first ever, what do I call it? I call it the Thursday Night Throwdown. It's a no-holds-bar sales match, tactic, roundtable. So basically that's going to be me sitting with a group of people, anyone that's on Patreon or patron, however you want to say it. I say patron, other people say it's Patreon, whatever. But people that are on those, are you the one that just fell off my load to fix it? Cause that's why the guy couldn't stay. I even offered to pay him a truck or a layover to wait till the next day, but he already had a partial on his truck and he had to deliver that by tomorrow. But, what was I saying? This one was a partial. It wasn't a full truckload anyway. 10,000 pound partial, so not great for hot shots, but still partial nonetheless. So yeah, starting on Thursday nights at 6 o'clock, it's going to be exclusive on for any patrons that sign up. If you don't know what Patreon is, it's a service basically where you become, it shows, it's built for supporters. So essentially you support, you like the stuff I do, blah, blah, blah. You give me a buck or something, or there's different tiers and all that. I'll put the link up later, cause that's not what the beginning video is supposed to be about. I'm just excited to do the sales round table, cause it's not going to be just me saying, oh, this is the way I do sales. The goal is for people that want to learn and that already know, and we all get together and figure out a strategy that works better for new people. And so I'm really excited about it. Hopefully we get some more patrons to sign up, and hopefully people will actually be there, because I haven't even gotten any confirmation from any of the current patrons that they will be in the meeting. Otherwise, I'll just be there like this, twiddling my thumbs the entire time, because I'm going to do it. I'll just talk to myself. You know, guys, I like doing that. Half the time I don't have a lot of views, so whatever. All right, so getting into the news today, as I always do, I start off with news, and then I just go wherever I go. Today I do have a topic, so which is different than what I normally do. I have a topic today. My topic today is going to be what we as the smaller companies and drivers and brokers and think the actual critical issues in trucking are, the critical issues in transportation. Now, we all know what the top 10 from the ARTI were last month, because I wrote an article about it. Go to freightbrokerlive.com and you can see it. But I figured, hey, let's just make a different type of video and talk about something that's different. Now, if you guys are commenting on this, you make sure you click into the video and then comment, because like there's other comments that I see on the actual Facebook page that I don't see in the software I use to stream. But with that said, let's get started on the news. So the first one, kind of call it my Bozo moment or my Bozo news story of the day. So an Illinois trucker flunked a drug test, claims fraud by CBD candy maker. Now, I don't know, maybe it's a young person versus old person, but I know all CBD has some sort of hint of THC in it. Therefore, you're still going to piss dirty if you go to take it. I think the federal mandate is 0.03% or less qualifies to be, you know, it's no longer a controlled substance. But you're gonna have a dirty UA if you take it. So this guy apparently took one. He was a trucker. He failed his drug test and he was fired because of it. So what's he do? Instead of going out and getting another job, granted it's hard now, you have a dirty test on you, but he decides that he's gonna go find a lawyer and do a class action lawsuit and just be a bonehead about it. There's the story. You can find that on Eyewitness News ABC 7 Chicago. And it talks all about it. It talks about, you know, how he's been a truck driver forever, never had a dirty test, and he took that to sleep. And all that, it's, I don't get it. I mean, I know, I hate drugs. I hate pot. I hate all that stuff. It's just, it's never been my thing. And in my opinion, though, if you're taking it, you know what it's going to do. You know what I mean? That's the reason why people do that stuff. And I'm not getting into a big conversation about whether that's right or wrong, because that's not what the intention was. I just think it's funny that everyone seems to go after lawsuits. This one's a class action lawsuit. It's a Florida gummy candy company, Just CBD, which builds itself as the future of CBD. Well, it's going to have a future of a lawsuit, and it's going to spend a bunch of the profits it made. In other news, a heating fuel shortage prompts the FMCSA emergency declaration in the Midwest. Now, this originally the declaration was announced last Friday, but it seemed not to pick up any traction, including by me. I consider myself to be a media outlet, and I didn't report on it at all. So basically in 5 different states, I believe it is, it's suspending parts of 390 through 399 of the FMCSA regulations for haulers transporting and heating fuel, including propane, natural gas, and heating oil, or providing other direct assistance into 8 Midwestern states, so not 5, 8. The agency is also waiving temporary operating authority registration fees for carriers seeking temporary authority to assist in the emergency. So for all you guys, all the naysayers out there that think ELDs are the cause and this and that and hours of service suck, which they do, whatever. If you're in that area, go boom. You could be an emergency truck driver and go make, you know, run all over the place without doing logs. States included in the emergency declaration are Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. So, and then the next bit of news that I was going to talk about today, and it's kind of funny. It's not really funny. I mean, it's the operational cost and how, you know, I wrote an article the other day which is also on freightbrokerlive.com. I wrote it last night, I think, actually. Freight rates remain low while operational costs reach an all-time high. So as I reported and as everyone else did because the new report's out, in 2018, according to ARTI, the American Research Transportation Institute, released a report about the operational cost of trucking. And it's a 2019 update. Now, this is pretty – to me, when I read it, I was actually kind of surprised. I wasn't surprised. You know, I know the cost of operating is high. I didn't quite realize that it's this high. And, I mean, granted, they're using a really small market base, and they don't work a lot with independent people. From what I understand, I think it's 30% of the people that were interviewed or questioned or filled out questionnaires had less than 10 trucks. So I think, you know, as you have less trucks, the operational expense is high. But in 2018, they said that the average marginal cost per mile for any truck or any for hire fleet was $1.82 per mile. And that includes driver pay, which makes up, I believe I wrote it on the other article, 43 or 47% of, let me see where it is, 47%, 43% of the operational cost per mile is in driver pay. Which is kind of ironic because one of the things we're going to talk about later, or one of the things that the talking points of the show is talking about the critical issues. And we all know last month ARTI released their critical issues, and you know, driver pay was the number one issue. Driver compensation was the number one issue for drivers, whereas the driver shortage was the number one issue for carriers and things like that. So I just thought it was interesting. And then there's a FreightWaves article that almost put that in they put it into context too when you think about it. They reported that according to the National Private Truck Council, the operating costs for private fleets were 48 to 72% higher than for higher operating costs. They found that the national average operating costs for private fleet trucks range between $269 and $314 a mile, depending on mileage. And you're wondering why these trucks now facing, you know, contract shortages and people breaking contracts because the spot rates are low, why they're coming to the spot market and closing when they have operational costs of $314 per mile. Like, that's insane. You know, and I haven't read the article. I quickly saw the FreightWaves article and figured, hey, you know, it ties into what I was already talking about. So I mentioned that, but that's pretty nuts. You know, it said a lot of it has to do with bonuses because it said 70% of carriers offered some type of bonus in 2018, which includes safety, starting, and retention bonuses. The bonuses, which I guess fall under the benefits, the driver benefits category in the ARTI report, are at roughly 18 cents per mile, where the driver wage, the medium average wage nationwide for cost per mile was 59.6 cents. So, I mean, like I said yesterday in yesterday's video, I don't remember what it used to be, but that is crazy. That is crazy. Let's see what else we got. What other news? So an OmniTrax update, that should be my new, like have a ticker thing going. So I wrote an article last night, published it this morning because it was super late last night when I wrote it. OmniTrax says they are making progress on a fix, but another deadline is approaching and it's a big one. And now you may be saying, okay, what's Steve talking about here? Well, the issue that what I'm talking about is we're almost out of the 8 days. Per the FMCSA mandate, you have 8 days to get your ELD working again. Otherwise, you have to individually apply for a exemption from the FMCSA. The one thing that I can't figure out, and the one thing I've really tried to figure out, is just how many ELDs are down. Now, I can go on social media and kind of get a rough poll. But the problem with polls on social media is no one actually contributes anything. And then I can't figure out whether it's true or not. And plus, you know, it's probably only 20% of, you know, truckers even glance at social media. But it makes me wonder. And the reason why I started wondering about that is Ray Greer, who's the chief executive officer of OmniTrax, he wrote a release that was, and I put it in the article too. Again, you can read my article on freightbrokerlive.com. But he wrote, in the event of an extension of the 8-day paper log limitation is required by any MCP devices, OmniTrax will take responsibility on your behalf in gaining an extension from the FMCSA and will provide required documentation to you on Friday. This is the most expedient and certain path should it become necessary. But from my understandings of the exemption portion, it has to be done individually per driver, per truck. So how they, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I know the FMCSA is backlogged anyway. If you ask them to do anything, you file an authority, you do anything, it takes a very long time. So how they're going to be able to get the exemptions in time so the drivers stay compliant, I have no idea. And I'm very curious to see how that works. Knock on wood, hopefully they are able to do it. I do have to say one thing about the OmniTrack team, I guess there, is they are providing like great updates. As much as they're really, the updates aren't saying anything. They're not actually saying how many drivers are affected, how many drivers are back up. That would be the more pertinent information, I think, in the update. Pretty much they say the same thing over and over. Like the newest release, which was released at 11:30 Central Time, it says, the OmniTrack team works tirelessly overnight, and I'm happy to report we continue to make progress. Last night, we distributed a second configuration file to address the devices that were outside cellular coverage at the startup and are encouraged by positive feedback this morning from both drivers and operational teams. I know that some customers are still experiencing issues, and we are working diligently to resolve them. Many of our customers are reporting near normal back office operations, with some returning to electronic logs. We're now working on a process all of our customers can follow to return to electronic logs while a firmware update is being made available. I plan to have a material update this morning, so maybe that'll have a little bit more of the data that I'm looking for to be able to report properly, because this essentially says, hey, we're still working on it. We're not going to give any information. That's kind of the problem with the private fleets and how they're working, is there is no real visibility into what's actually going on. You know, I'm kind of curious to see what happens in the long run, if there will be enough of a push to say, hey, listen, we had utmost 50,000, 75,000 trucks that all, you know, people were way inconvenienced, way more than a hack or some, you know, Russian interference on Facebook. Those guys all get congressional hearings. Do you think there'll be any kickback about, you know, a software provider who corners, I don't know how big of a market share they have. I think I read one report that said that they have 30% of the ELD market share, which is crazy because there's 58 pages of ELD self-certified systems. That's another whole thing too. ELDs are self-certified. Doctors that do the medical compliance tests have to be certified. They have to be licensed by the FMCS or the DOT. Why are ELDs able to be self-certified? Could I just go get a box and order some Chinese software on it and sell it as an ELD? Maybe. Or maybe not Chinese software, any software. Could I do that? No, probably not, because I don't actually know anything about it, nor do I care. But I'm just saying I wonder what's going to happen as the besides OmniTrack getting a lot of negative publicity, it isn't picked up. You know, I know I broke the story. So my story was broke, you know, it was picked up by a bunch of different people. FreightWaves picked it up, and, you know, they're the biggest one of them all. So once that gets out there, then hopefully it'll be picked up all over the place. John, I will answer that when we get to our next session, as soon as I'm done with these things. I only got one more. And the last one's kind of funny. But and then the last one, I wish I could show this on the screen. This is a FreightWaves article that was released 2 hours ago. At the time I put it on my screen, so maybe 3 hours ago. And it says, jury delivers – I got to get my button ready. Jury delivers a victory to LTL carrier in pricing dispute with Amazon. A Texas motor carrier scored a legal victory against Amazon in a lawsuit highlighting the e-commerce giant's sometimes testy relationship with the trucking industry. Waco-based Central Freight Lines, which has 1,651 power units, according to FMCSA, won a $24 million verdict against Amazon at the end of October. They won a $2.4 million verdict against Amazon. Central Freight Lines first began hauling LTL freight for Amazon in 2011, but Central Freight said the relationship with Amazon started going south by 2016 as it
attempted to wield its economic power to force.
Through billing. Sorry, I actually rehearsed doing that, and I don't know how it sounds with headphones on, but I think it's funny. But it attempted to wield its economic power to force through billing procedure changes that Central Freight never agreed to, the carrier complaint said. Amazon's
economic power
over trucking has been on a full display over this year. The onerous contract terms it puts on carriers were said to be one of the factor in the demise of New England Motor Freight, FedEx, and XPO Logistics. I skipped ahead. FedEx similarly ended its ground delivery relationship with Amazon, and XPO lowered its 2019 revenue outlook as its largest customer, which is believed to be Amazon, took business away. And here's a fact behind it. Like, I just thought it was kind of funny because it's Amazon. I could do all of my Amazon voices. The funny thing is I also have an LTL background. So when I started thinking about it and talking about it, I was looking at the article, and it said in the lawsuit, Central Freight Line said Amazon began tendering 8 pallet shipments, which did not qualify for the agreed upon LTL rates due to their size. Now, if you don't know what that means, anything 6 pallets or less, 6,000 pounds or less, is an LTL shipment. The reason why LTL carriers put such specific guidelines on it is because they cube out the truck. They fill up that trailer as it's going to point A to point B, and that's why LTL rates are so low, because it could fit a lot more freight on each trailer. Once it's over 6 pallets, some carriers it's 8, but usually once it's over 12 feet of space or 12 feet of truck, then it becomes a volume shipment. The rates are still sometimes low, sometimes they're lower than what a partial load would be, but they're not always, because it takes up more space, and it makes it a little bit harder for them to cube out the truck while still making that truck profitable in the long run. It said instead of honoring the LTL rates, instead Central Freight Lines quoted Amazon a spot rate that was 30% higher than the LTL rate plus a fuel surcharge for the 8 pallet shipments, which is exactly how they do it. It's probably in their tariff schedule. Why would Amazon not have to pay it when all the other customers in the world would have to? And that's all I'm going to go into that article. You can read that. It's actually a pretty cool article. It's the title of that is on FreightWaves. It's Jury Delivers Victory to LTL Carrier in Pricing Dispute with Amazon. I just thought, like, it literally caught my eye. Jury delivers victory to an LTL carrier against Amazon. I just thought it was funny. Anyway. Let's go through some of these comments, and then we will, I'll start my dialogue on the other one, on the main talking point of today, which is, what is it? This is just how we feel, how real trucking company owners, how real independent small freight brokers, what we actually feel is going on in the industry. And as always, this is a call-in show. So I have a call-in line available, right? Here. It's 914-803-4008. I do have it open. You're welcome to call in. I will answer it once I get through. Tell me what your issue is. We've covered the ELD mandate so much. I know ELD mandate sucks. I know it's a pain in the butt for everybody else. I know nobody likes it. Some people like it. Some people don't care. So ELD mandate certainly is an issue for truckers, but we're going to leave that one out, because we've already beat that up, and I don't want the video to be all repetitious. So we all know ELD is an issue, so I'm not going to cover that today. And if you start talking about ELDs, I'm probably just going to say, okay, move on. Let me see what's out here real quick for the comments, because there's quite a few of them. As I didn't say this, if you haven't already, make sure you like, subscribe, share, follow, link. Do whatever you got to. Make sure you comment, like share the video out, put a comment in there, say, hey, look, this guy has a funny looking beard, and share it out. Make sure people watch the videos and get the content out. There's some cool stuff coming up future. And like I said, next week I'll be in Chicago with FreightWaves looking at all the different tech and stuff that they have. I'm super stoked about it. So it'll be cool to just do that. And I'd love to broaden the reach a little bit and see you while I'm over there and all over the place. All right. So see what some of these comments are. Everyone's like, dude, blah, blah, blah. Most brokers sell to carriers lie. We'll get to talk about that at the end. Toe Piglet. Funny guy. So carrier, I promise I'll run it dedicated. Book 2 more parcels. Well, see, that happens all the time. But again, that's a conversation for different, because I'll go there like crazy. Rod said, what's up, Big Steve? Enjoying your shows. Thank you, Rod. Right Lane, keep conservative politics out of your show, or Patreon will drop you. Hopefully not. I hope that's not true. But I don't know. I try to keep politics out of my show all the time anyway, because yeah, that's me. Nate said, not mean. Don't know what that means. Right Lane said, rates, detention, and layover. Rates are the biggest factor facing carriers, possibly the industry. If it keeps going, the nation will actually have a driver shortage. I actually agree with you. Oh man, I agree with Right Lane for once. I do. I think rates are, because rates go into everything. That's driver compensation. So I guess that was, I believe, the number one issue for the transportation industry. I don't know. I got to find it. I don't remember. Where was it? I think I may have closed the screen. I don't know. Whatever. I believe the number one issue was rates. Yeah, I must have misplaced the article. I swore I had it open, but I don't. So I believe the number one issue on the driver side, on company driver and independent drivers, because the way the ARTI report, the American Research Transportation Institute, that the report they released last month with the top 10 critical issues in transportation was based on either from a motor carrier standpoint, meaning the company, or the company driver, essentially. I don't know. They only I believe they surveyed 1,000 people, and then they built their determination on those 1,000 and how they are, I guess, I don't know. The way they got it is I don't necessarily agree with, but whatever. That's what it is. So – but the number one issue, of course, the number one issue for motor carriers was the driver shortage, which is bull anyway. And the number one issue for motor carriers was driver compensation. So clearly, driver compensation, poor rates, poor driver pay, poor benefits, poor everything plays in a part. And rates definitely are, they're low, no matter which way. I talked about it in yesterday's video, so I'm not going to go into too many specifics. But as I just pointed out, we see the cost to operate your truck are going way higher. You know whose costs do not fluctuate? A broker. Our costs don't fluctuate because we have fixed costs. We have, you know, software fees. We have offices. We have whatever we have. We don't have trucks where we're buying fuel and doing all this stuff. So while I appreciate that I have a say in what I no longer drive a truck. You know what I mean? I no longer own my own truck. So I can't put myself in a driver's shoes so much. Or as much as I would like to, which is why I would like a driver to call in. Toe Piglet, you still here? Call in, buddy. 914-803-4008. I know you're relatively new to the industry, 2 years, whatever. But talk cost. Talk cost to operate. Talk about what it's like for you guys to be on the road. What you think the biggest – and I'm not going through all 10. Do your top three issues in transportation. If you're a broker, an independent broker that actually owns their own brokerage, feel free to call in too. And we'll address it that way, because I think that's the best way. And it's a small group of people versus me generalizing, saying, oh, here's 1,000 people. You know, 90% of them are big motor carriers. So let's try to figure out what they're, you know, of course, they're going to say driver shortage, hours of service, and whatever the third one. I had it open. I'm so mad that I closed it. I like to be prepared for these things. Unbelievable. I could find it, but I'm not going to while I make the video. Anyway, so that number is live, 914-803-4008, 914-803-4008. It's a live call-in number. You will be recorded, and you will be distributed all throughout the World Wide Web when you call in. So be conscious of that, I suppose. But again, detention rates. See, to me, that all goes into driver compensation. Everyone should know how I feel about detention. I feel like the detention rate is super out of date, and it needs to be updated. You know, like today, a driver didn't follow instructions. He went to make a pickup. Pickup wasn't ready. He was supposed to call before he left. That's what we talked about. That's what my freight agent referred over. I believe her when she said it. She's like, you know, because she's new, so she's following everything to a T, everything that I said. So he just shows up. He didn't call ahead. He didn't do anything. He was supposed to call before he got offloaded at his previous stop to make sure he should have went over there. Well, he doesn't. He just gets there, and guess what? It's not ready. That's why we wanted him to call. So it wasn't ready. And then he says he'll sit there and wait. So he waited about a half an hour. And then my customer finally emails me back and said, hey, listen, it's not going to be ready for 12 hours, probably not till tomorrow morning. So I call him and I say, hey, listen, it's a partial. And, you know, the agent didn't necessarily want to call, you know, and to be honest, I don't blame her. It's my fault because I should have done a better job. I should have done a better job. Hey, do I have any agents here right now? I can't do this. Hold on. Hold on, guys. I got to book a load real quick. Bear with me. Oh, where did I put all this information? Oh, hold on. I got to mute this. Hey. I'm like, sorry, see, that's the true life of a freight broker. You know, you work, working and working and working. So I'm making a video right now, and yet I'm still making $150 in commission, right? Just like that, because of an email. Isn't that awesome? Very cool. All right, I'm going to say send it. All right. Boom. So that's a load booked. I'll build it afterwards. All right. Anyway, what was I going to say? Sorry, guys. I know you probably didn't want to. I probably lost like 10 viewers right there. That number is live, 914-803-4008. We're talking about anything that you feel is a trucking issue. We're just going to keep ELDs out of it because we've been talking about them for 4 days. What do you think is the biggest issue in trucking right now for you as a carrier, as a freight broker, as you know, a guy that sits watching people make videos online? What do you think the biggest issue is in transportation right now for you? Not what other people say the issue is. What is it for you? So as I was talking about before, I was so rudely interrupted by Booking Freight. Detention. Detention is it's so out of date. What is that? It's so out of date if you think about it. Because when I started in the industry 15 years ago, you know how much we paid for people for detention? $35 to $40 an hour. Do you know how much we pay people for detention now? $35 to $40 an hour. You know how much fuel cost back then, 15 years ago? You probably do, but I don't remember. I think it was like $1 or $1.50 or something like that. So everything goes up except driver pay. The cost to operate, the amount a truck driver loses sitting at a loading dock is on a very low end, it's at least $75 an hour. Using the average of $5,000 a week per truck, meaning $1,000 a day, you know, which that's a good amount of money for a truck. Not the best, but it's enough. I don't know why everyone waits until I'm making a video to send me all sorts of emails. But at any rate, it's just crazy. Detention rates need to come up. I'm 100% on board. Is there a way to do it? No. Can I just say all of a sudden I'm? You know what? Screw it. I'm going to make all my customers pay a $75 detention. Otherwise, I'm not going to work with them. Me as a little independent broker, no, I can't do that because they're going to go work for somebody else. You know, and people say, well, why do we get 2 hours free? You know, why do shippers and brokers all get 2 hours free to load and offload? Well, because you are not doing a good enough job booking your truck. When you rate your truck and you figure out your cost to operate your truck, you include that 2 hours pickup, 2 hours offload in your actual rate to the customer, to the broker, whatever. You have to, because it takes time to load a truck and you want to be compensated for it. So don't complain. That was the thing I always hated. I had a driver once that came to my, you know, cause like I said, I ran trucks and then I consolidated everything and sent it to California. So we loaded freight out of our warehouse. And I once had a driver that bumped my dock. Seriously, he pulled up into my dock. He sat there, he came in, he checked in. I said, all right, I'll get loading you. I walked around, I found the pallets. The way I loaded the trucks, because we were also cubing out the trucks, is I took all the heavy pallets and I brought them up to the front, and then all the light pallets were on the one side. So I'd essentially go and grab one truck, drive it on, or one heavy pallet, grab another heavy pallet, put it on, and then put the light pallets on top, because that would make the most sense, right? This guy, I seriously got one pallet in. He was there because I checked the cameras after because of what kind of a-hole he was being. He was there for like 5 minutes. He was like, how come you've only loaded one pallet, blah, blah, blah. And trying to get all tough. And it was funny, you know. But I think that's another thing. Driver attitude needs to be changed, as does shippers and receivers. Because I've also been to places where I'm like, I'm going to beat the crap out of this receiver because they are it just rude as hell. You go and check in, they're like, yeah. And I'm here to pick up a load, sir. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where's your paperwork? Or, like, they don't care about their job. So why should we, right? As truck drivers, as brokers? I don't know. That I may have gotten a tangent. We have a caller. Let me pick this guy up. What's going on? This is Steve. You're on the air.
Mr. Oatley, it's Right Lane. I'm only calling because nobody else is calling in.
I don't get it. You know, I noticed that with call-in shows, people just don't call. It's like they're afraid to hear their voice. I've never really understood that.
I keep waiting for Franz Hayden to call in. He sounds like he's
here
than I am.
Nah, he won't do it. He won't do it.
So we're talking about ELDs, is that right?
Nah, I don't want to talk about ELDs. We talked about it for 4 days now.
I'm just kidding, man. I'm kidding. No, I mean, I think it's clear, dude. I mean, to me, at least the top three that we have an agreement on are by far the biggest from a small carrier perspective. I'm glad those guys surveyed the small carriers because, you know, those guys make up the majority of all the carriers, you know, so it only makes sense that they would be surveying the guys that have 10 trucks or less. I mean, that's like
90%. No, I'm sorry. I said that wrong. I meant to say I think 70 or 80% all have over 10 trucks.
Oh, well, then that's stupid. You're right. I don't know why they would have done that.
I don't know. But it's interesting. I believe they provided a breakdown of how many trucks versus how many carriers they surveyed either to dictate what the rates are and things like that.
It's interesting, though, that, you know, as a small carrier, our concerns are aligned with the guys who have more than 10 trucks. And I would think that the pinch is harder on the guys who have less, you know, because the economy of scale is less. So like you've covered a number of times, you know, the more trucks you have, if you're running an efficient operation, then your operating costs should go down as well. So I do think that that's interesting. But to me, it's obvious really what's going on, which is, you know, the economy is just slowing down. And it only makes sense that transportation would feel the pinch first. It would make sense also that if and when the economy recovers, that transportation will be the first to feel the recovery, because it's the head of the snake, you know?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's going to pick up anymore. I mean, if you watch what I was talking about last month, I used to say I think rates are going to come up. They have to, right? And they're just not. And people are actually forecasting them to stay the same or go lower. I mean, all the rates, every mode of transportation, you know, flatbed, reefer, or drive-in, all those rates are all down from last month. And they were already low. They should be going up, not down.
I think that's accurate. But, you know, one of two things is – but from a macro standpoint, everything is going to slow down. It's
right.
Just starting in freight. So everything else is to follow. That just makes perfect sense from, you know, from the flow of how an economy works. You know, you got to produce – which is down 20% for the third month in a row. Production, domestic production is down 20% 3 months in a row now. So you got to produce it, then you got to ship it, right? And then you trade it. So the next thing I think that you start to see is as the supply of products is less, you know, then we'll start to see more CPI, which is consumer price inflation, right? Which is prices going up in the stores as supply is down. And that those stats are up also. But I agree with you. So we agree on a lot of things, you know. You said one thing I agree with right lane, but you know we agree with, you know, what's going on, and we also agree on sex robots.
I know you're a faithful follower, and I appreciate that.
I most definitely am, dude. I really appreciate a broker. I got to be honest with you, my condescension. Or I don't show it, but my condescension that I feel toward brokers has reduced significantly since I've started watching your show. So thank you very much for what you're doing. I don't voice it because I'm professional, but yeah, I mean it is very easy to start looking at it like it's us versus them. But
sometimes it is. But see, the thing is, it's hard to explain, but I view like my role and the way I think about the industry as that I am like still a truck driver, a fleet owner. You know what I mean? I feel like I have a different view, and I feel like that's why I feel like these videos are beneficial and all that good stuff. But hey man, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, of course. But can I just cover one more thing? Which I mean, the forecast that I see is absolutely that the whole economy is going to slow down. We are so overdue for a systemic-wide correction in the market that, to me, this is just the beginning. Is it going to continue to go down? Probably. But if it goes down too much, you're going to start driving carriers out of the market, and either you're going to have Amazon take over – oh, do the voice. Amazon take over the whole industry, or rates are going to come up. And I think it's a 50-50.
You understand drivers still are going out of business. Drivers are still going out every day.
Right.
You know?
And they're going
that's why,
out.
That's why all these big mega fleets, all the mega fleets are all losing a ton of money, and then they're moving over to the spot market, which is taking all the guys that are thriving and living off of the spot market. They're driving down their rates. The guys that need it are now running for lower rates than what's attainable. I can tell you half of my loads that I move on a daily basis are under that operating cost of $1.82 a mile as a broker, because that's what the market dictates. I had a load today, full truckload, going 960. No, it was going further than that. It was like 1,200 miles. It was a stupid low rate. I ran the rate, quoted the customer. The DAT rate was $1,900. So I quoted the customer $1,950, thinking I could get $1,850 to $1,900 to the carrier. She comes back and says, I am paying $1,500. I said, is it a partial? She's like, no, it's a full truckload. I move it every single week at $1,500. And I said, not with me. And I won't work with that customer again, because that is the same kind. You know, I think a lot of the times people – I'm going to end this because I got to turn down the sound and because I'm hearing my echo really bad. But thanks for calling in. But here, I muted that. But there's so much – like there's so much device, like you said, where you have a divisiveness towards brokers. And the sad part is there's so much misconception around what a broker does and what a broker is and all that stuff, where it kind of sucks when you think about it, really. Because, you know, as I was saying today, I forgot who I was saying it to, but in terms of like sales and choosing when to work with a customer or not based on what kind of rates they're offering. Could I cover a load continuously for a low profit? Yeah. If I'm underbidding the carrier side of things as well, like I can underbid what I make all the time. Who cares? If I make $100 profit or I make $20, as long as I'm making money, I don't care. So what I'm doing is I'm underbidding. I'm beating the other brokers out because I'm just taking it off of my end. I'm not paying the carrier any less. And I actually will draw the line. And people have seen that, you know, the trainings and stuff I do. I actually draw the line because I'm not going to go below what a carrier needs to make to be profitable. You know, that's why I also don't think, I mean, if you guys really have operating expenses, and this is me speaking as a person, as a former fleet owner and all that stuff, if you guys have operating expenses of $1.82 per mile, that's crazy. That's crazy expensive. That's crazy. I mean, me with my trucks and insurance and drivers and truck payments and tolls, I was in New Jersey, New York, so I had tolls, everything all in, I was like at $1.30. You know, and that's for the semis. The straight trucks, they were like 98 cents, including driver pay. So if it's really $1.82 to break even, I don't know what you're going to do, because I see my rates. I see rates all the time. I see the rates I pay out. They are sometimes they're not very off from being at that point. And if $1.82 is the cut, that's the cost to, and anything less is a loss. I see a lot of losing in the future. You know, because I do see a downward trend in freight. That's it. I don't subscribe to all the different things and the forecasting and all that. I'm just saying from my experience, 15 years of being a broker, 15 years of holidays and watching how holiday freight moves and all that stuff, I can tell you something's different this year. You know, it's not looking that great. And it's funny because 2 months ago, I'm like, no, it's going to come up. It's going to come up. Shit already came up, in my opinion. You know, I don't have all the fancy algorithms and all that stuff yet. Maybe someday I will. But right now, I worry about it. I worry about it for me too. I am a broker, but I'm an ethical broker. Does that make sense? So unless I find some sort of career where I could still benefit and help people, but I'm not brokering freight anymore, which is doubtful, I have a healthy fear of what happens in the industry and who I can't have carriers lose their businesses and jobs, because that'll cause me to do it. If I don't have drivers pulling my freight, guess what happens? I'm out of business. So that's something. We have another call. Let me pick this guy up real quick. What's up? You're on the air. This is Steve. Oh, wait. You there? I had the sound down again.
Hello. Is this Steve?
Yeah, it is.
You can hear me, Steve.
I can hear you, Nate.
We want you to come work for Amazon.
It's not happening. Are you trying to do the deep voice? Is that what you're trying to do?
Fucking goddamn!
You sounded just like you do all the time.
I think I found funny. It.
It wasn't working though. Such a weird call. I didn't know what you're doing.
Actually,
like you talked about
listen, you mentioned a very good point, which a lot of people haven't talked about. And that was the upcoming recession.
Yeah. What about that?
God, there's like a delay. I'm not sure if I can figure out the timing on this.
Turn it off from the show.
It is.
Don't watch it on YouTube or anything. Just speak like a... All right, well, try to call back later. This isn't working. All right. Sorry, Nate. That wasn't working. Let's see what some of these other comments are. Fran said, someone call, talk about Steve. Favorite topic, sex robots. Yeah, right. Katya said yes. Josh said yes. I'm guessing that it's at that point if I said, do I have any of my agents in here? But then I realized you're all too new and you don't know how to build a load yet, so it wouldn't have worked anyway. Steve said, don't worry about muting. He just made me look to see if I was muted. We can read lips. Be careful. I was being appropriate. I was talking to my customer, though, so I was just muting it. Actually, I was talking to a carrier. Tyre Singer said, Steve, when you had your dispatch service, how did you advertise and acquire carriers to work for? So I did it on social media now and paid advertising. I would not do that now because – everybody does it. And to be honest, there's a major stigma attached to dispatching now, and I don't even know how it's going to curb. I don't know if you're still in here, Tire Slinger, but what you can do, and the best advice I can give you, is to follow this link that I'm about to put up here. See where I'm going? Patreon.com. See what I did there? Right, Lane? Patreon.com/FreightBrokerLive. Go over there, sign up, become a patron. And guess what happens? You become a patron of Freight Broker Live, but you also have access to an exclusive patron-only sales seminar. So imagine talking and picking my brain about all the business and me picking your brain. That's the benefit of it. It's a round table. So the only requirement is that everyone has a microphone that chooses to attend because I need people to ask questions. I can only talk for so long before I get tired of hearing myself. But so I'm going to be doing that starting tomorrow and doing it every Thursday at 6 Eastern time. So sign up on Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/freightbrokerlive.com. Or no, whatever. You see it there on the screen. But let's go back to questions here. Take this off. What are some of these questions? Right Lane said, multiply your cost per day and how many miles you run and divide it by how many miles you run per year. Essentially, yeah. There's a couple other, like, you know, I'm a big believer in leaving reserves. So a maintenance reserve, keep, you know, put away a little bit of money for maintenance accounts, tolls, breakdowns, savings. Like, even though driver pay is driver pay, you know, especially if you are the driver, you are the owner operator, then you definitely need to include in your cost the cost to operate the truck, which includes the driver. You are the driver, so you draw a salary from your truck. Everything extra, I always just netted. So when I found my cost, my average and all that stuff, I just left profit in the say 20% is what I 20% of what my actual costs are is what I tried to go. And reserves are part of your cost per day. That's what I just said. I'm talking about above and beyond, though. So say your maintenance. So say you have a projected maintenance of $2,000 a month. So I would, you know, add another 20% of that, and make it $2,400 per month, and then use that. And that's just a fallback, just in case something happens. You know, when people say their costs are low because they own their truck outright and stuff like that, that's not true. Your costs aren't low. What I used to tell people is include your cost to buy a new truck. So pretend you have a truck payment. Pretend you have, you know, a trailer payment if you own that outright. And you net that money. Don't spend it. Save it. Because when the time comes and you blow an engine or something like that or a transmission and you need to go get a new truck, then you already have the money. Or you should have the money. But Jose said, can I turn up the volume of the caller? It's hard to listen. I'll try. Someone else said that the other day. The problem when I do that, though, is because of the system that I have it on. I have everything feeding in through one line. So if I turn up the volume of the caller, it turns up the volume of the show. See what I did there? I'll try to see if I can put them through a virtual line or something next time. Not right now. But yeah. Oh God, my phone is blowing up here. Nate, Fran said, Nate is that nasty guy who complains a lot. No, Nate's a good guy. Right Lane said, multiply your cost per day. I already answered that. Still saying it wrong. I'm sure I am. Tire Slinger, you said you're here. In terms of dispatching and trying to recruit drivers to dispatch, that's how I did it. But if you want to learn more tips and tricks, join that seminar, join the patron thing. It's going to be different because it's not geared just for brokers. It's not geared just for carriers. It's not geared just for dispatchers. It's geared for anyone that wants to learn the sales process as it relates to logistics. Because if you don't know, that's my background, is sales as a carrier, as a broker, as a shipper, and there's more to sales. It's not just selling to, you know, a shipper and saying, hey, let me tell you all the good things about us and why you need to choose us. I also have to sell loads every single day. Try to talk carriers into taking loads. When I was a carrier, I had to talk brokers into giving me the freight. Same kind of stuff. It's sales. It's doing your job properly, you know, essentially. What do we got here? Tyra said he's here. Right Lane said that's why $1.181 is not a high figure. I mean, 181 is a high figure from when I was running trucks. 181 is a high figure to me. And I know that's fuel and fuel is much higher than it was, but that's it. Fran said, can I put the volume higher? Oh, yeah. Well, whatever. Ben said, can we watch the show later? Yeah. Yeah, this is live. The only one you can't is the Thursday shows. Those are not recorded. And I actually have it turned off so you can't record it. And I don't want anyone to record it because it's just going to be, you know, private. Alan said, what's a good resource? Dakota Partial. I've talked about it a couple of times. I talked about it in the trainings too with you, or maybe you weren't there, but the way I quote partials is it may not be the way everyone else does. So basically I take the DAT or the truck stop, or I take the average between everything. And I put that all together and then I divide it by how many feet there are on the trailer. There is in the trailer. If it's a 40-foot hot shot, I divide it by 40, and that gives you a cost per mile for the truck, for that amount of space. And then if you have it, I think I just went over this yesterday. And if you have a 10-foot partial, I add about 5 foot onto whatever it is, and that gives you your carrier payment. And that's a good way of figuring out a good ballpark, but it's not the same way. It's not necessarily accurate all the time. It depends on the lane. It depends on what kind of capacity is out there. But that gives you a pretty good rough estimate of how much it's going to cost to move it as a partial load, and then you add your profit to that. Same thing. If you're a carrier and you're quoting it out, you're going to add your profit to it just as a broker would. All right, we have a caller. Let's see who this is. What's going on?
Hey, buddy. It's Thomas from Houston, brother.
What's going on?
Hey, man. I just want to say appreciate being honest about the detention time. Because I'm hearing a lot of noise from brokers now. The new going regular rate for detention starts after 3 hours, which is BS on my side.
Yeah, now they did that when I was a carrier too.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, when was the last time you was a carrier? I mean, what year were you around, you know, the years when you were a carrier?
I got rid of the last truck in March of this year.
Okay, the reason why I asked, that $1.80, the cost, I remember you did a show the other day on Freightways about how the carrier cost is going up. That a lot of that cost has to do with the emissions on these trucks, man. I mean, to keep them running right like they're supposed to, I mean, it's dramatically going to shoot your cost up, you know.
Yeah. No, I bet. And I'll be honest, I wasn't one of those guys that did all the repairs on my truck. I just went and brought it to mechanics. I'm not super mechanical. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm the type of guy that thinks I can be, and then it costs me a lot more money to fix once they get the parts, you know. But,
yeah.
I've torn apart motorcycles to try to fix them before I actually learned my way around them and had to pay people to come to try to put them back together just to go get it fixed. But, Oh, when I lose – I have a new car now. If you look at the old car and you go and you look at the brakes, I'm missing springs. I'm missing whatever I have to. So I get tired. Like I don't know how I even did it. I put like the whole brake mechanism on backwards and tightened everything up, put the wheel on, and then realized, okay, this is not working, and had to take it all off again. But yeah, I'm not super mechanical. I like to pretend I am, but I'm not.
But yeah, I mean, to all the carriers listening, I mean, I'm one of those guys. If you're running below your costs, you're committing financial suicide. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. 1 + 1 = 2. 3 - 2 = -1. It's not gonna work.
It's true. I know. You know, I said, you know, I'm a firm believer because training and safety and qualifications and all that were another critical issue to have appropriate training. I think if the FMCSA should require tests, it should be like a certifying body or something to say, hey, you want to become an owner operator, you either need to have, you know, 5 years as a lease operator, or you have to take a test to prove that you're ready to do it. Same thing with a broker. Yeah. If you want to become a broker, you either have to have 5 years of being a broker at for somebody else, or you have to take a test to show you actually know what you're doing. And right. It'll never work. But and people would object to that too. They'd say, "Oh no, that's the government trying to step in and, you know, tell us what we can and can't do. We can't become an owner operator." It's funny. People just complain about stuff too much.
I mean, I think that'd be your idea, what you just came up with, is like 100% spot on. It'd be the government protecting you against yourself, basically, just like a coach.
100%. It wouldn't just be the government protecting you from yourself. It'd be the government protecting you from everybody else. You know what I mean? Because it would force you to get an education, a real education of the industry before you try to jump in, you know?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, it's a scary thing. Hey, man, thanks for calling in. Yeah.
Hey, thank you, bud. Keep doing what you're doing, bro.
All right, will do. All right, let me put the sound back down here. Could you guys hear that better? Because I cranked it. I don't know if you could hear it better, but made it louder. All right, let's see what some of these are. Yeah, Ben said that's the one he's talking about. I want to watch the Thursday show. Unfortunately, I don't want it recorded because I don't want it spread around online. I want it to be exclusive for the people that are supporting Freight Broker Live, as much as that sucks. This stuff all costs money. You know, it costs money to do everything I do. If you notice, I don't have very many advertising. I have OTR that's because they're awesome and I believe in them. And then I have a couple other, you know, DAT that I mentioned a couple other sites, but I'm not like one of these guys that are like sponsored and throwing up company logos on my screen and all that stuff. Nothing against them. It's just not my thing. I believe in only representing things that I fully trust and am willing to represent. And it's made it pretty hard to get sponsorship because I'm also a research type guy. So I'll find out every single thing about the person or company or whatever. I've had quite a few people approach about sponsorships and I just have to turn them down. Ty said back on the road tomorrow, but we'll try to make it next Thursday. Cool. Cool, man. Ben. Yeah. Fran said call, or right lane said Fran's call in. I don't think it's going to happen. Right lane, Eugene, the money is on the upper Midwest. Getting a decent rate going there and staying there. Going there is next to impossible. Once you get there, try to stay there. Fran said, do you know there's a writer that devoted 50 pages to proving 1 + 1 = 2? Probably. Right lane said Missouri, Wisconsin, Mississippi, Ohio, Indiana, and Iowa. Jose said yes. Right lane. Yeah, so there's a bunch of comments going back and forth. It looks like it's a conversation between them. But, yeah, that's it. So I think we identify driver compensation is truly the number one issue. I think the number two issue has to be hours of service. I mean, to be honest, the number one issue should be hours of service because that will solve a lot of the driver compensation issues. One, not being required. Having a little bit more time to drive would be beneficial to the people that could use it. If they weren't so stressed out about running out of hours, that maybe the detention time wouldn't be as big of a deal it is now, wait times and shippers and all that stuff. It wouldn't be quite as big of a deal. And I wrote about this in one of the articles. Nate, yeah, that's the goal. I'm trying to skip over it. We're talking hours of service now, but I'm trying to skip over the ELD issue because it is what it is. I've talked about it for the past 2 days. But hours from what – and I think I wrote this yesterday. Hours of service can be tied to every single – I think I wrote it in a post comment actually. Hours of service can be tied to almost all the critical issues. Driver pay, driver retention, hours of service, you know, wait times at shippers, this, that, infrastructure, everything. It can literally be tied as the one, like, I like to say precursor, but that's not the right word. It's to everything else. It's the one thing that's making all those things. It's putting it over those, it's putting it over that barrier. It's making it suck. You know, I don't know what you're talking about, ED. Hours of service is not a problem. Rates are. If hours of service are increased, it's equivalent to more capacity, more hours of service, lower rates. No, I disagree with you. So rates are not low. Rates are not dependent on capacity right now. I don't believe. You know, I think rates are low because the cost to build a product is higher, and everyone's just is. I mean, look at it. The cost to operate is higher. That's not just standardized between trucking. The cost of manufacture a product is higher. The cost of people are higher. Rate keeps coming up. Minimum wage comes up. Everything comes up. And I think the one thing, like you said, or whoever said it when you called in, is that everything's coming up. It takes a long time to catch up to everything else. And I think we're in the transportation slump now because manufacturing's already seen it. And so those rates have come down, and they're tightening the belt on transportation before they have to go back to the customer and say, hey, listen, you know, because ultimately as a shipper, because I used to work as a shipper, I understand that, or I padded rates too. So it would be stomped on. I know I'm buying a product. I then hire a shipper to do it. The customer's already charging me a margin on top of it. I then hire a broker who puts their margin on it. They're hiring another company who puts their margin on it, going to the driver. The driver's putting his profit on it. So by the time it actually gets delivered, there's probably 70% profit that's already gone from what the actual transportation cost was. You know what I mean? And as the cost to operate keep coming up, the margin is shrinking. The profit margin is shrinking. So, you know, there was times me as a shipper, I would make on LTLs, and we were, because I was only at a shipper at one place, and we were a mechanical contractor, but we were huge. So we would ship in like big pumps and AC units and all that stuff and have like special riggers do all that. We used to charge those all the time, but we used to, you know, we would bill out $1,500 in extra freight spend, knowing that the carrier's still making money. Especially that's why they hired me, because they knew I'd be able to do it, being coming from a broker and carrier side. And so I essentially trained all their procurement people to add profit on it, and the company would generated quite a bit more profit for that reason. But see what some of these comments are. Right lane, okay, cool deal. Thanks again, my friend. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Eugene said, that's what I was saying too, rates are the problem. Well, you said rates is the problem, but no. I mean, rates are definitely a problem. Rates are a problem for everybody, you know. But I'm saying to me, and that's the benefit of this being Freight Broker Live, and me with the self-coined title of being your favorite freight broker, this is my show. To me, the biggest issue is hours of service, because I can tie, I could draw a map and tie every single issue to hours of service. So to me, that's the biggest issue. But to you, as someone else, you have a different perspective on something. So you could say, oh, it's rates which dictate hours and all this stuff. But the thing is, I think the hours were always bad. It just, people didn't realize it until everything else started to tighten the belt. I didn't pay attention to hours and realizing, oh, I wish I had an extra half an hour to drive when I was driving. I didn't pay attention to that stuff. It didn't make sense to me. I didn't, you know, my goal was to make money, to drive while I drove. And to be honest, half the time I kept multiple logs. So I was doing what I had to do to make sure that I was making money. You know, you got to do what you got to do, you know. But right lane cities agreed. Eventually carriers will start dropping out. It'll take a while though. They're already dropping out. I mean, maybe you guys got to read more of my articles and stuff. Carriers are dropping out all the time. All the big guys are losing profit. Not a single one is, I think actually Saia, I may be wrong though, so don't quote me. I'm not a financial guy and I don't have the time to go through it all right now being a broker. But I think Saia was the only one that's like shown a large profit in transportation. And that's why they're expanding and adding other markets and things like that. I think all the other large motor carriers, both LTL and over the road, you know, motor carriers, have all shown a loss, and not even a small loss, a significant loss in third quarter profits. And you know what they're doing? And FreightWaves does really good interviews. I don't remember what the videos are called, but there's a cycle where they're interviewing people and they interview tech guys and all that. But catch the one. There was one about Pan. And when freight started going down, it started tightening up and everything. He had one, he had two focuses. One, making sure they were making money, and two, making sure they didn't lose drivers. It was awesome. You know, it was a good, it was one of the best interviews I've seen in a long time. I don't know who he is, the president of PAM, but right lane said, I'm looking at it strictly from a SUPPY versus demand, supply and demand. Yeah, I gotcha. But you can't though, because you can't. Yeah, I mean, this, we're not going to get into a big economics conversation today. I don't want to. That's not my thing. I like just talking about stuff and not really having to think about it. If I'm wrong, I admit it, you know. But, I'm just talking about the issues that I think are the biggest ones and the issues that other people, you guys, like, and that's what the whole purpose of. Some of you guys said rates. Rates and driver compensation are the largest issues. I could say the top three, you know, that it's those. I wonder what the third one, who thinks, so we got rates as the number one issue. I'll give it to you. We got hours of service as the second issue. What is the third issue that the problem that we have? I'm including detention, that kind of stuff, and wait times at shippers, all in rates and hours of service. So what would be the third major issue that you as a carrier face? Because we have carriers in here today, so we'll do that. What is the third major critical issue as your job? What is going to essentially, if it keeps getting worse, what's going to put you out of business? Cheap customers. Well, that goes to rates, so that doesn't really apply. Taxes. I'm not even going there, bud. I don't know anything about it. I pay people to do it. Insurance. There you go. That's a good one. Insurance. Because insurance rates are going to go up, and they're going to keep going up. And then if they ever get that $5 million or $4.9 million liability insurance clause, there goes half of the small business guys that are out there, small fleet owners that are out there. They're gone. As soon as that happens, they're gone. So insurance rates are definitely one. You know, there's, you know how many trucking companies that would call me and say, hey, listen, you know, I want help to file for my authority. I just want a little bit of knowledge on how much it's going to cost and all that stuff and consulting. And I'm like, all right, well, the operating cost or the expense to actually start your company is very minimal, except for the insurance payment. And they're like, how much is the insurance payment? I remember watching it go from, you know, I mean, when I had trucks, I bought a Progressive policy. I put $1,200 down, and then I upped the limits after, because that's the one thing you could do back then. So I would buy the state minimums, and then as soon as the policy was bound, I would up it, add the DOT number, and up the limits on. You can't do that anymore, but it kept my down payments really low. When that's how I bought my first, you know, truck policy with Progressive Commercial, whenever it was, for one of the companies we were working with. It's insurance rates are a big issue. I would almost say that's the third issue, because to me it's only going to get worse. And maybe not say insurance rates or just insurance in general, the different claims and because I think with insurance issues then you could tie in all the nuclear judgments and all the stuff everyone else talks about. You know, but it's interesting. It's interesting to talk and hear about it from a different perspective versus sitting there and saying, okay, well, this article says this, and then this report says this, and because you don't know what they're in touch with. You don't know who's actually being surveyed with the report. They can't necessarily say who they're being surveyed by either, because then it wouldn't be anonymous. What's some of these? Kevin Wright said, everybody needs to go watch Freight Waves interview with Craig Fuller and President of PAM. You will learn something. I tell you what, that was a very, very good interview. I've actually watched it a few times. It was a very good interview. The guy at PAM, I forgot his name though, the CEO of PAM, that guy has a great head on his shoulders and for being a business person. He said a lot of things that like hit home, you know what I mean? And he showed the genuine concern for, and the reasons why he made the decisions he did. And I mean, it was a good interview. Yeah, go watch it. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I feel like I rep Freight Waves all the time. No problem with that, but John Overhoser, I don't know if I said that right. I apologize. He said, you drive a 7 Western. If you can't make money driving 11 hours, taking 10 off, you got to have a problem, just saying. Yeah. You can make money. No matter what, you can always make money in trucking. I mean, if your cost to operate are $1.80 a mile, that's crazy. But I mean, that to me, that's high. You know, that's high. Hell, even when I was dispatching trucks last year, we would figure out cost per mile, and they averaged between – we had guys that are running just, like, really cheap beat-up trucks and trailers and all that stuff that where the expenses were very low. They were running, like, $1.10 to – we had a semi that was $1.59 was the actual cost to operate. You know what I mean? I didn't take – I'll be honest. I didn't take a big enough dive into the ARTI report, so I don't know what it actually – or ATRI or whatever it is. I didn't – look at it quite as maybe as thorough as I should have. Maybe I will now. But yeah, cheap customers, insurance, the government, blah, blah, blah. Insurance rates. Poor engineering and the emission system on the trucks. Yeah, see, I don't drive trucks, and I'm not a mechanical person at all. You know what I mean? Unless you ask me, and then I'll be like, yeah, I can fix that. And then I'm secretly just going to take, like, you know how I fixed it? I had an old truck one time that was leaking, and I watched a video online. It's like, oh, you could tie a hose back and do this. It was the AC unit was doing it. So you know what I did? I pulled the whole AC compressor out and bought one of those new pulley systems. I didn't even decide to fix it. I just said, screw it. I'll just drive a no AC again. You know, or there's another time I had an AC that was leaking inside the trailer. Or inside the vehicle, and instead of fixing it like a normal person would have done, I just climbed underneath and found the drain hose that must have had a leak somewhere. It was backed up, and just cut it so it just drained straight down. And yeah, again, YouTube was my friend and doing all that stuff. I can read a book and learn how to do something, but I'm not that mechanical. I can build a house though, so go figure that one. Right lane's a good one, Jose. Oh, because insurance rates or something. Everyone, and I guess that rings true. A lot of people said insurance. Martin says a decrease in hours in service, which, I mean, we already talked about that. So a decrease in hours of service as the carrier. Anytime I've seen a decrease in available hours, I've seen rates increase. A decrease in hours of service. Hold on, guys. This is Steve. This good. I did. Yeah. Is it possible? Could I give you a call back in like 5 minutes? All right. I'll give you a call right back. Okay. Cool. Bye. You guys really better appreciate me. I'm trying to finish this video before I talk to a new customer. I recognize the number too. Oh, all right. This video's got to go. Ryan said he feels like you could make a lot more money if deliver the same D, even with hours of service. It'd be great if the majority of shippers and receivers shifted to primarily being 24/7. Yeah, but then the cost, the actual shipping cost would go up, meaning there'd be less of a budget to actually spend because they'd have an increase of cost of labor. So it's, that, while that would be good, some of the warehouses have shifted that direction, but it's not going to work. France said it's Amazon. Well, because they're not yet. They're big, but they're not. Nate said the work environment is shit for a driver. Truck stop food is poison. Your choices are McDonald's, Subway. God, man, I could kill for McDonald's right now. Subway. Apples cost a dollar. Truckers are always mad at each other. People hate you for leaving so long, and you hate you for staying home and not working. I can't imagine how bad companies' drivers have it with someone breathing down their back. See, that's the thing, too. I never worked as a driver for a company. I've always been independent, always. And so I don't know what it would be like. You know, I've always been independent as a driver. So I don't know. You're right, because that would be difficult. Because, I mean, see, the first 2 or 3 days for me going on a trip are awesome. I'm just sitting there daydreaming. The last couple, I'm like, oh, crap, I miss my family. Oh, I miss, you know, being home. I miss being in bed because I'm a big guy, so I don't fit, you know, easily. I'm not comfortable in the back of a truck. So, oh, it's that, you know. But you can't change the work environment without fixing your situation. You know what I mean? You can't change a work environment without figuring all the environmental factors, which are hours and rates and detention and all those issues that all bundle in to make it such a not a peelable job, not a word, but whatever. Right lane said Amazon is possibly the number one. Decreasing hours of service, less capacity. Benson, do you have a CDL? No, not anymore. Don't need it. I'm never going to drive again. I already know that. I don't want to drive again. I don't want to. So, never did. But I never even had a CDL. I drove a CDL truck I take it back. I did have I did drive for somebody else. I delivered for a farm. So we had their trucks. And then my trucks, like I said, I was a different kind of person. I guess the same way I break the rules as a freight broker by being honest and all that stuff, I did the same thing as a carrier. I had trucks. I had several Sterling L8500s, the old Conway trucks, if anyone knows what those are, single axle day cabs. I had a couple of those, and then I had a Freightliner Century. I jumped in those trucks every time I had to. You know, I wasn't very good at it. But if I had to go make a delivery, or if I had to pull it from the back of our yard, which is down the street from where we parked the trucks to where our warehouse was. But yeah, no, most of the over the road stuff I did was all, you know, either hotshot stuff or, all non CDL, non hotshot. So, oh man, dude. I don't know why it's so busy today. All right, guys. But yeah, this is a show. If you like the show, make sure you like and subscribe, all that stuff. I got to go do my real job, which is being a broker, because that's how I actually pay the bills, and it apparently it's busy today. If you don't know who I am, make sure you like and follow on Facebook. Make sure you follow, too, because then it will send you notifications when I do go live. If you're watching this on LinkedIn later, make sure you like or comment on it, something like that, so I can see that you're actually watching it on LinkedIn. It'll just be the YouTube video on LinkedIn. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please make sure you like and subscribe and all that good jazz stuff. Hit the bell, you know, all that. It helps me somehow. I haven't figured out how yet. But if you're looking for a free 30 days on DAT, go over to www.truckersedge.com/408339. There you'll get a free 30 days that you can't get anywhere else unless someone else has a referral link. And it's the nation's oldest load board. It's one of the best and one of the most complete load boards you'll find. And it's good for about everything. And then the last, very last thing, like I said, go over to patreon.com/FreightBrokerLive to sign up to be a exclusive patron of Freight Broker Live. You get all sorts of stuff. You get invited to our seminars that we're doing every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. It's a seminar where we either talk 1 week, like, so this is the sales throwdown this week. Who knows what we'll talk about next week? Could be sales again. It could be whatever the topic is and whatever people want to talk about. It's members only. Plus, you'll also be entered, no matter what you contribute, you'll also be entered into our gift card giveaway. We do that on the 10th of every month, live at 6 p.m. So it's going to be this Sunday at 6 p.m. And we give away a $100 gift card, a $50 gift card, and a $75 gift card. And they are real, and you get them immediately after the show is over, and I send you the links. So just make sure you sign up for it. All good things, good things. All right, guys. See you later. Bye.